from KPFK Pacifica Radio. This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Reports from one of the largest voting districts on Super Tuesday, Los Angeles, California, suggest that exercising one's civic duty turned into a multi-hour process. Despite spending hundreds of millions of dollars on new electronic voting machines, Los Angeles polling places had numerous glitches, resulting in very long wait times. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders' campaign filed for an emergency injunction to keep polling places open past 8 p.m. on Tuesday night, giving voters time to get into the booths to cast their ballots. Well, my guest, Stephen Rosenfeld, was out in the field paying attention to and documenting some of the problems there. Stephen is the editor and chief correspondent and senior writing fellow for Voting Booth, which is a project of the Independent Media Institute. He's been traveling to primary races around the country, and he now joins me from Los Angeles. Hi, Stephen.
Hi.
So first, it was just, I believe, at the Los Angeles County level that these new electronic voting machines were unveiled, right? This was not necessarily a California-wide thing. So they were touchscreen voting machines. And I feel confident as an LA County voter to discuss even my own experience going into a polling place. I went on Saturday because California now has early voting at polling centers. And I have to say, it was a daunting process. Were the long wait times primarily as a result of these new touchscreen voting devices?
I actually think they were a result of several things that came together as almost like tributaries into a river. And it's interesting that you went to vote early, because what I had heard was that in many places, even though they had 11 days of early voting here, 11 consecutive days, that a lot of people did not go to vote early. So at a certain point, that created pressure onto what, as you stepped into these precincts, became pinch points. And perhaps you could talk about your experience, because what I saw was there aren't that many junctures in the process. There's the sign-in, and there I saw that there were some technical breakdowns in terms of people were using iPads to connect and bring up voter registration rolls and sign you in, and sometimes those were going offline, or the network connections weren't working, and that just slows down the process. And the other thing that slows down the process at the sign-in is the same-day registration. There's new rules on changing party registration. So all of that is a pinch point. And then you move to the actual voting console, the ballot marking device. And what I saw there was I saw people when they were working, were quite pleased. I saw people in wheelchairs having no problem going up to them and leaving and not feeling like anyone had to make a fuss about them. I saw some small features that were kind of interesting and better than in other states. You could actually see a paper ballot go into a translucent bin instead of what looks like a garbage can, literally, in some of these other systems that are made. And but what happened was a lot of those machines by midday started being pulled out of service. Now, this is what's so interesting or actually worrying, which is why? Why would up to 20% of the machines, and that's a number that the county's senior election official said. Now, this is not any voting machine. This is a unique system. It's publicly funded, $300 million, 4 years in the development, open source, although they haven't released it, software owned by the public, not by private vendors, yet 20% of the machines on their first big debut were taken out of service.
And my own personal experience actually confirms that. I was directed by one poll worker to a machine that I didn't notice had a blue masking tape across the middle of the screen. And I started to start the system, and another poll worker came and said, oh, that one is out of commission, you can't use that. And had to figure out how to undo and sort of restart the process so that my little paper ballot thing could be spit out and I could start at a different machine. And as I walked around in the small polling place, at least 3 out of maybe 10 machines had signs saying out of commission, paper jam, etc.
Yeah, this is something that I saw in South Carolina just a couple days before Super Tuesday. And there, And I was being conservative. I went around with the fellow who was a local election commissioner in the state capital county, and he is the chair of the computer science and engineering department at the University of South Carolina. And by midday, literally, we went into six or seven precincts in a row where there was at least one or two of the five or six machines out of service. So that's 20%. I don't think it's an accident. This number has come up again in Los Angeles. Now, you know, these, I dare say, are low turnout races compared to the fall, what we're going to see. Now, the question becomes why? And what can be done? And really, what I have learned, and I saw this in South Carolina, and this is really critical, is the election officials will turn to their tech staff and they'll say, oh, we think it's this, oh, we think it's that. But nobody really knows what it is until you actually take each individual machine that's not working and look at the electronic activity log to see where it stopped and then figure out what's going on. And I don't know what the process is in a lot of different places, including Los Angeles, for doing that, because these things may just be going back into a giant warehouse and how they're going to be, and they don't want to talk about this kind of stuff. But this is really what we have to track if we're going to not have a, and I think this could be a new, you know, voter, what's the word? It's, so I don't want to call, say suppression, but it could be a structural barrier to participating and voting in the fall. If anywhere between 1/5 or 1/6 of the machines falls out of service, and you've got, you know, 2 and 3 times the turnout that we saw this week and last week, and since these contests have begun in February, boy, that is really a scary thought.
So going back to what happened in Los Angeles on Super Tuesday, because so many people showed up on election day rather than take advantage of those 11 days of early voting, do you think that that didn't give enough time for poll workers to be properly trained, to encounter enough errors that they could kind of troubleshoot, problem solve, et cetera? And so then you had this big glut of voters as, you know, it took, for me, it took like much longer to, especially since I was unfamiliar with the system, to cast my ballot than the old way of doing it. So all of that adds up, and you just had tons of people waiting in line as this very slow process developed.
Well, it's interesting. Your experience is very instructive. I would say that the poll workers, by having some of these places open 3 days before, 4 days before, 11 days before, actually were able to get some training in low traffic situations. So when you basically put in your ballot summary card into a machine that was down, they quickly came over and tried to help you correct it. And so they knew what had to happen. They just couldn't catch everything. So I saw poll workers generally being, you know, really good, actually, and really caring. Most of the And doing a pretty good job. I feel like they get kind of squeezed by all these rules coming down from the procedural level from administrators, and this gear that is just not performing as advertised.
This is public source or publicly funded, these are publicly funded machines, unlike, you know, in previous elections, you know, even just about a decade ago, where you had private companies get these lucrative contracts. Who would be responsible for these glitches? Why were these machines having so many printer jams, paper jams?
That is so interesting. You know, this is really... I can't say I know why, but I can say that there have been a lot of printer jams. I saw this in other places too. Now, what would cause it? Could it be that the ballot paper or the card stock was too thick, or it was a humid day? I mean, these are all things that could happen, but nobody knows for sure until you really take an examination. But who's responsible? Well, in this case, it's pretty clear. The county of Los Angeles, this is their system. It was bought with $300 million and developed with $300 million with taxpayer funds over, I believe it was a 4-year period. The primary manufacturer of the voting consoles, the ballot marking devices, the one that you saw taped off, is a company called Smartmatic. They are a global company. They were hoping that this would be a big success and they could, you know, then take the bragging rights from what's going on in LA and sell it to other places across the country. The paper printout thing, or piece of this, which was they had these really small printers next to iPads when people came in that to print out this ballot summary card, and it had a QR code, is sort of a form of a barcode. It's like a dot matrix printing square. And you would slide that into the ballot marking device, and it would bring up your ballot. And there was something like 4,000 different ballot styles in LA, and they were doing it in a dozen languages. I saw Arabic. I saw
wow.
All that stuff is actually pretty user-friendly. But I don't know if it's just they had the wrong printer at the desk, you know, that, or the wrong paper, or it's you know, something. This is, none of this is Russia. This is, these are decisions being done where things escalate and scale and spiral out of, you know, from one degree of magnitude to another. And this is the stuff, this is the really mundane hard stuff that we got to get right, or else, like your experience and many other people, they're going to be stuck waiting in lines. And the thing that you mentioned before about early voting, you know, the city or the county of LA might want to do early voting, but if most people are not showing up, they have to anticipate that there's going to be a surge after people get off of work. And that's exactly what happened yesterday.
Right.
There was a tremendous surge.
It's too bad because, of course, the early voting enabled people to vote on the weekend, which is something that people have been asking for years. Why is voting on a Tuesday when people are working? If it was on a weekend, it would be better. It was on a weekend in California, but not enough people were aware of it. The state was sending tons of mailers. I got several. I stopped to read them. Maybe people are too busy to read. I get it. Maybe there just weren't enough PSAs to alert people of the fact that they could have walked in on a day when they might not have been working and cast their ballot. So what about those people who are waiting in lines as the polls closed at 8 p.m.? I mentioned that the Sanders campaign filed an emergency injunction. Did people who were in line at 8 p.m., did they get to vote?
Yes, they did. This is the law. It's federal. If you're in line, and I saw this clearly.
So then why did the Sanders campaign file this emergency injunction?
Well, I think there's a political reason, but I'll get to that in a second. People, if you're in line, get to stay in line until they are done. And that's just that is a well-established principle in law and in practice and in court rulings and all that sort of stuff. I saw people leave because they had to leave, and it was frustrating. And I, you know, the thing that was interesting about this was the lines that I saw were not just in, you know, poor neighborhoods. They were in well-off neighborhoods. They were everywhere. It wasn't particularly discriminatory by race or class or economic status. So this was that's also a little bit interesting, you know. But beyond that, why did Bernie's people file this? I think they saw that I think they saw that they were losing unexpectedly on the East Coast and a whole bunch of these other Super Tuesday states. And the way that delegates are awarded to the National Democratic Convention is that they're awarded by congressional district. And if you you have to get above a certain threshold to be able to have you to qualify for what is the apportionment of delegates. So LA has the most congressional districts in California. And if you're thinking about
and California being, of course, the biggest state in the nation. So
yeah. So if you think about offsetting what happened in other states and still being in the game delegate wise, you are going to fight to have as many, you know, to win by the biggest margins possible in LA. Because if people, for example, like Elizabeth Warren did not get under 15% threshold, then the balance of the candidates who were above 15%, they split the allocation for that particular congressional district. So it could actually boost Bernie's numbers. Whereas in a place like Texas, where he was pretty close with Biden, I guess Biden eventually won, you know, it's a kind of 50-50 thing.
Stephen, I want to ask you a kind of a strange question, but it's been on my mind today. As Los Angeles has declared an emergency over the spread of coronavirus, it came a day after thousands of people went to vote using touchscreen devices that I'm not sure were sterilized between use.
Yeah, some were and some weren't. This is really, okay. Really interesting. And people were asking about this too. They were. It's like, is it okay to touch this thing? And and you had people, I saw them going around cleaning the screens in some places not. The Other thing that's really remarkable about this is in places that are using these ballot summary cards that like you saw that were printed out, which is basically thermal paper. If you are using hand sanitizer, it can smear the ink on that paper. I'm not making this up. I am not making this up. So this is so depending how this thing goes, this could literally be a real issue, especially if we go into close results come the fall.
Right, and if this epidemic continues to increase, then it's going to become a serious issue. And I just want to say one of the things that is positive about these voting machines is that it prints up a paper version of your choices that you, as a voter, are supposed to look at, check to make sure that it's recorded your preferences properly, and turn in. So there is a paper ballot trail. I know there's some concern about that ahead of a voting day, whether because people are rightly worried about electronic voting machines, how they can be hacked into, results change. But there is a paper trail in this case. So if there are is suspicious activity or the numbers don't quite look right, presumably all those that those paper ballots can then be recounted, right?
Yeah, the thing about it is this. When you look at the paper record itself, you see this QR code. When you first go in there, it helps bring up the right ballot on the machine, and then it encodes literally, all your choices. And those choices are printed on what's given to you. Now, what you're verifying is not necessarily it's not the same as the code that the computer is reading because you can't read that code. But I know people who have bought QR code readers on their iPhones, and they've taken pictures, and there's a little two-character code that follows everybody on the Los Angeles system, which is not in other systems in other states, by the way, or even in San Francisco, which is home to me. And you can see if it's correct, by the way. You really can do this. If you really want to verify it, you can do it. Now, that's probably one in a million people who will do it, but the thing is, you really can. As far as the big criticism of these systems is that when a computer replaces a hand-marked paper ballot, then you're letting the computer determine voter intent on the ballot itself. And then after elections, where there's a canvas board, if there's a recount, the computer has done all the determining of voter intent, and it's not a jury-like process. But you could not have a system where you have up to 4,000 different ballots in 12 or more different languages without some kind of ballot marking device in LA. Other places, you could argue that you can. The LA system is probably the best one I've seen of these nationally.
Stephen, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, and good luck to you. We'll certainly be watching these voting systems in the general election. Appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks. This is a wonderful opportunity. Anytime.
Stephen Rosenfeld is editor and chief correspondent and senior writing fellow for Voting Booth, a project of the Independent Media Institute. He's been traveling to primary races around the country. He was in Los Angeles on the evening of Super Tuesday, and we've been discussing the specific voting problems in Los Angeles, given all of the news reports around long wait times. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.